Good morning and welcome to Moments of Meditation. I'm Glenn Kleppe, pastor of Zion Lutheran Church at 410 Main Street South in Pine City, Minnesota. Our worship service is at 9 o'clock Sunday morning. We also have a midweek service at 7 o'clock Wednesday evening every week. Currently, we have two openings in our Growing in Grace preschool. If you know of anyone looking for a good preschool, have them call us at 320-629-3682. Our email address is zionpinecity@gmail.com. We have a website at zionpinecity.org, or you can find us on Facebook. The Lord be with you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth will declare your praise. Make haste, O God, to deliver me. Make haste to help me, O Lord. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. This morning, for our confession of sins, we will use Luther's section on confession in the Small Catechism. What is confession? Confession has two parts. First, that we confess our sins, and second, that we receive absolution, that is, forgiveness, from the pastor as from God himself, not doubting but firmly believing that by it our sins are forgiven before God in heaven. What sins should we confess? Before God, we should plead guilty of all sins, even those we are not aware of, as we do in the Lord's Prayer. But before the pastor, we should confess only those sins which we know and feel in our hearts. Which are these? Consider your place in life according to the Ten Commandments. Are you a father, mother, son, daughter, husband, wife, or worker? Have you been disobedient, unfaithful, or lazy? Have you been hot-tempered, rude, or quarrelsome? Have you hurt someone by your words or deeds? Have you stolen, been negligent, wasted anything, or done any harm? Take a moment now to consider your place in life and the sins you have committed against the people around you and against God, and ask Him for forgiveness. Let us pray. Almighty and most merciful God, you sent your Son Jesus Christ to seek and to save the lost. Graciously open our ears and our hearts to hear his call and to follow him by faith, that we may feast with him forever in his kingdom. Through the same Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Today is June 11th. On the church calendar, it's Proper 5, which is a part of the non-festival half of the church year, ordinary time, as we sometimes call it, where we spend time in learning about the faith and about the church. Our first reading for Proper 5 is from the prophet Hosea, chapter 5, verse 15 through chapter 6, verse 6. I will return again to my place until they acknowledge their guilt and seek my face, and in their distress earnestly seek me. Come, let us return to the Lord, for he has torn us, that he may heal us. He has struck us down, and he will bind us up. After 2 days he will revive us. On the third day he will raise us up, that we may live before him. Let us know, let us press on to know the Lord. His going out is sure as the dawn. He will come to us as the showers, as the spring rains that water the earth. What shall I do with you, O Ephraim? What shall I do with you, O Judah? Your love is like a morning cloud, like the dew that goes early away. Therefore I have hewn them by the prophets, I have slain them by the words of my mouth, and my judgment goes forth as light. For I desire steadfast love and not sacrifice, the knowledge of God rather than burnt offerings. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Psalm 119, verses 65 through 72. You have dealt well with your servant, O Lord, according to your word. Teach me good judgment and knowledge, for I believe in your commandments. Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now I keep your word. You are good and do good. Teach me your statutes. The insolent smear me with lies, but with my whole heart I keep your precepts. Their heart is unfeeling like fat, but I delight in your law. It is good for me that I was afflicted, that I might learn your statutes. The law of your mouth is better to me than thousands of gold and silver pieces. Our epistle reading is from Paul's letter to the Romans, chapter 4, verses 13 through 25. For the promise to Abraham and his offspring that he would be heir of the world did not come through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. For if it is the adherents of the law who are to be heirs, then faith is null and the promise is void, for the law brings wrath. But where there is no law, there is no transgression. That is why it depends on faith, in order that the promise may rest on grace and be guaranteed to all his offspring, not only to the adherent of the law, but also to the one who shares the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made you the father of many nations. In the presence of the God in whom he believed, who gives life to the dead and calls into existence the things that do not exist. In hope he believed against hope, that he should become the father of many nations, as he had been told, so shall your offspring be. He did not weaken in faith when he considered his own body, which was as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old, or when he considered the barrenness of Sarah's womb. No distrust made him waver concerning the promise of God, but he grew strong in his faith, as he gave glory to God, fully convinced that God was able to do what he promised. That is why his faith was counted to him as righteousness. But the words, it was counted to him, were not written for his sake alone, but for ours also. It will be counted to us who believe in him, who raised Jesus from the dead, Jesus our Lord, who was delivered up for our trespasses, and raised for our justification. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 9th chapter, verses 9 through 13. As Jesus passed on from there, he saw a man called Matthew sitting at a tax booth, and he said to him, "Follow me." And he rose and followed him. And as Jesus reclined at table in the house, behold, many tax collectors and sinners came and were reclining with Jesus and his disciples. And when the Pharisees saw this, they said to his disciples, "Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners?" But when he heard it, he said, "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. Go and learn what this means. I desire mercy and not sacrifice. For I came not to call the righteous, but sinners." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The text for our consideration today is our epistle lesson from Romans chapter 4, where we are told about the faith of Abraham. This summer at Zion Lutheran Church in Pine City, I'll be preaching on the epistle lessons for the whole summer. They're from the book of Romans, Although they will be sermons, it will still be a study of that book, sort of. And it's a great book to study. Anytime you study a book of the Bible, you should look first at who wrote it and to whom it is written. And that's pretty simple in this case. The book is written by the great missionary to the Gentiles, Paul, and it's written to the Christians in the principal city of that day, and indeed the principal city of much of history, Rome. Church history and the book of Romans indicate that there were several different groups of Christians in the city who probably met at different places. Today we would say that there were several churches at Rome, but they would say in that day that the church in Rome, because they thought all of them were the church in Rome. They were one church that met at a variety of locations. Paul expressed his feelings about the Romans early in the book. From Romans chapter 1, he said, "First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for all of you, because your faith is proclaimed in all the world. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I mention you always in my prayers, asking that somehow by God's will I may now at last succeed in coming to you. I do not want you to be unaware, brothers, that I have often intended to come to you, but thus far I've been prevented in order that I may reap some harvest among you, as well as among the rest of the Gentiles. So I'm eager to preach the gospel to you also who are in Rome." It seems that Paul had not been to Rome, was not a part of starting that church, but he had a strong desire to preach the gospel to them. The gospel is in the letter. That's why it's a great book to study. The epistle lessons that I will use for our sermon texts go roughly from the beginning of the book to the end. Because Pentecost was late this year, we got a little late start on these texts, and we missed the first three chapters. And to summarize those early chapters, the book begins with a discussion of how much God hates sin, and the fact that we are all sinners, and so we are hopelessly lost. We know that to be true. Regularly, we confess our sins, and when I lead worship on Sunday morning, I leave a time of silence for everyone to think about their sins, as I left a moment of silence in this broadcast this morning. I hope that during that time you did consider your sins, and I hope you do that if your church leaves a time to consider them. I hope that you think about the times that you have been dishonest or selfish. I hope you think about the times that you have lied or coveted. I hope you think about the times that you've not loved God with your whole heart and soul and strength and mind. I hope you think about the times that you've not loved your neighbor as yourself. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. That's from Romans chapter 3. In short, we can have no hope in ourselves. Because of our sin, we stand condemned to eternal punishment. But we are not without hope. What is our hope? God alone. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ. That's from Romans 6. In fact, what we need for our eternal salvation is to be the children of God. How can we become the children of God? Are we already? In one sense, we are, because we are created by God, so we are His children. But to be His children in a saving sense is a different thing. Today, our epistle lesson talks about Abraham. Abraham, of course, is one of the most interesting people of the Old Testament. He was called by God. As near as I can tell, there was nothing especially worthy about him. He was well off, but that didn't really make him special. His only noticeable outstanding characteristic was that he was a man of faith. Of course, we don't know that about Abraham when we meet him, but we find that Abraham, as good a guy as he was justified before God by his faith. He showed that faith time and again in his life. When God called him, he simply told Abraham, "Pick up everything and everyone you have and go to the place I'll show you." In other words, pack up and move and keep going until I tell you to stop. Then he made a promise to him that he would make Abraham a great nation. Now, based on that, would you go? Would you pick up and leave, not sure where the end of the journey was? Abraham had faith in God. Abraham also had faith in God's promise. He believed God's promise that he would be given a land and be the father of a nation. He believed that he would have descendants, like the stars of the heavens and the sand on the seashore. He believed that promise, even though he was far too old to have children. As good as dead, our text says. After Isaac was born, he believed that God would keep his promise, even when God asked him to sacrifice his only son. Of course, on that occasion, God stopped him at the last minute and provided for Abraham a lamb for the sacrifice. Abraham had great faith. When we have faith, we are children of Abraham by faith. The more we trust God's promises, the more we are like Abraham. We are children of God by faith. He's given us the promise of eternal life in heaven. And when we believe that, we have it. We have it because of Christ's righteousness. When Jesus died on the cross, he paid the penalty for our sins. And through faith, he gives us his own righteousness. Abraham's faith was counted as righteousness, and so is ours. When we believe in Jesus' saving work, we have the gift of Christ's robe of righteousness. We are counted by God as being holy through faith. When Abraham went to sacrifice Isaac, God stopped him and gave him a lamb to sacrifice instead. Jesus, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, he is our lamb, given instead of us. We have life because of him. One day each one of us will be done with our life on this earth. Abraham lived to be 120. I don't think many of us will make that, but that's okay. When you reach heaven, there's no quiz. You're not asked to recite Bible verses or pass some kind of a test. There's no tally of good works. There's no DNA test to see how much Jewish blood you have. We are Abraham's children through faith. We are God's children through faith. God loves you. If you believe that Jesus won heaven for you, then you have it. Then you are his child. It's that simple. Amen. Let us pray. O Lord, have mercy. O Christ, have mercy. O Lord, have mercy. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Hear my prayer, O Lord. Let my cry come to you. In the day of my trouble I call upon you, for you answer me. Hide your face from my sins and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence, and take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and uphold me with a willing spirit. Because your steadfast love is better than life, my lips will praise you. For you have been my help, and in the shadow of your wings I will sing for joy. Teach me your way, O Lord, that I may walk in your truth. Unite my heart to fear your name. I give thanks to you, O Lord my God, with my whole heart, and I will glorify your name forever. May all who seek you rejoice and be glad in you. May those who love your salvation say evermore, God is great. Save your people and bless your heritage. Be their shepherd and carry them forever. Give ear, O Lord, to my prayer. Listen to my plea for grace. Let us pray. Let us pray for the whole Church of God in Jesus Christ and for all people according to their needs. O Lord, you strike down and you heal. Though we justly deserve your wrath for our sin, revive us and raise us up, that we may live before you forever. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Almighty God, you desire steadfast love, that your people would know you. Bless pastors, teachers, and all church workers, that your word would sound forth in abundance. Open the ears of all who hear to acknowledge your steadfast love. Be also with those who work this weekend to prepare for the convention of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Father in heaven, by your grace, Abraham did not weaken in faith but trusted your promises. Strengthen parents to persist in their callings and train their children in your word and ways. Defend them from discouragement and apathy, and convince them that you are able to do what you have promised. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Creator of all things, you call into existence what does not exist and govern it for good. Remember those you have given authority among the nations, that the laws they administer might reflect your order and maintain peace. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Heavenly Father, your Son came to heal the sick and forgive sinners. Hear our prayers for those who suffer in any way. We name them now. Restore them according to your gracious will, and strengthen their faith in your faithfulness and love. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Father in heaven, you made childless Abraham the father of many nations when his body was as good as dead, giving him faith to trust in the promised Christ. Strengthen our faith also, to trust your promises despite our weaknesses and troubles. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Almighty God, your Son ate with sinners to call them to repentance, and now feeds us with his supper, that we might be forgiven. Prepare the hearts of all those who will in the near future take your sacrament of the altar with penitence and faith, and let them depart in righteousness and peace. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. O Holy Father, receive our thanks for your kindness to Abraham, Sarah, and all the saints who have gone before us. Preserve us in faith and in righteousness, that we too may give you glory now and forever. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Into your hands, O Lord, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Almighty God, you have built your church on the foundation of the apostles and prophets with Christ Jesus himself as the cornerstone. Continue to send your messengers to preserve your people in true peace, that by the preaching of your word your church may be kept free from all harm and danger. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. I thank you, my Heavenly Father, through Jesus Christ, your dear Son, that you have kept me this night from all harm and danger. And I pray that you would keep me this day also from sin and every evil, that all my doings and life may please you. For into your hands I commend myself, my body and soul, and all things. Let your holy angel be with me, that the evil foe may have no power over me. Amen. We praise you and acknowledge you, O God, to be the Lord, the Father everlasting, by all the earth adored. To you all angel powers cry aloud, the heavens sing, the cherubim and seraphim their praises to you bring. O holy, holy, holy Lord God of Sabaoth, your majesty and glory fill the heavens and the earth. The band of the apostles in glory sing your praise, the fellowship of prophets their deathless voices raise. The martyrs of your kingdom, a great and noble throng, sing with the holy church throughout all the world this song. O all majestic Father, your true and only Son, and Holy Spirit Comforter, forever three in one. You, Christ, our King of Glory, the everlasting Son, yet you with boundless love sought to rescue everyone. You laid aside your glory, were born of virgin's womb, were crucified for us and were placed into a tomb. Then by your resurrection you won for us reprieve, you opened heaven's kingdom to all who would believe. You sit in splendid glory, enthroned at God's right hand, upholding earth and heaven by forces you command. We know that you will come as our judge that final day. So help your servants you have redeemed by blood, we pray. May we with saints be numbered, where praises never end, in glory everlasting. Amen, O Lord. Amen. Let us bless the Lord. Thanks be to God. The Lord bless us, defend us from all evil, and bring us to everlasting life. Amen. Once again, I thank you for joining me in moments of meditation. I'm Glenn Kleppe, pastor of Zion Lutheran Church in Pine City, Minnesota at 410 Main Street South. Our worship times are 9 o'clock Sunday morning and 7 o'clock Wednesday evening. We have our Vacation Bible School coming up in the month of July, the 17th through the 20th. If you have questions about that, please give us a call at 320-629-3683. We also have two openings in our preschool, which you can call the same number for that, or email us at zionpinecity@gmail.com. Our website is zionpinecity.org, and it's not too hard to find our Facebook page. We also have a YouTube channel, which is named Glenn Kleppe, which has recordings of many services. About 3 years' worth of our services are out there online, and you can watch those as well. May the Lord bless your week.